The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to A Game from the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me on the phone, once again, I have our very own Hassan Godwin.
Hello.
Hello, Hassan Godwin. How are you today? He's doing that good, huh?
Well, I can't really hear you, but yeah.
Well, that's
doing the best I can.
That's not good if you can't hear me at all. That's going to be a very, very poor radio show if you can't hear me.
Yeah. It's a little better now.
Okay, good. Are you feeling any better? Because it's been almost 2 months. Actually, it's going to go on 3 months now that you haven't been in the station.
Am I feeling better? Yeah.
Okay.
Physically, yeah.
So you no longer...
that's a different story.
So you no longer have the Pandora virus?
No, I no longer have the Pandora virus.
So what
do you... I don't feel like I have the Pandora virus anymore. I haven't seen a physician to tell me for certain that I'm out of the woods, but I certainly don't feel virusy anymore.
So, from the desk of Hassan Godwin, you no longer feel virusy.
Yes, that can be an update. That's a news update, a bulletin.
And our...
Hassan Godwin no longer feels virusy.
All right, there you go. So, hopefully, our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, will be gingerly walking in very shortly. Hopefully,
well, he's got a report today.
Yes, he has a report today, which we discussed last week, on how he was going to take the whole first segment to talk about his Beatles adventure, because he was so excited about it, and he's such a big Beatles fan. So hopefully he'll be here shortly to do that, because I have extremely, extremely short news for this week. I was going to have no news, but stuff happened, so I had to have news.
Stuff happened, so no more news than usual.
Right.
All right.
So if anybody's having trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see me in the high-definition web camera. Provided that you're listening to the show live now in the present, as opposed to listening to us on the archives, which is in the future, which would be our past, and you'll be seeing something else here, unless you happen to be seeing us a week from now, then, and then you'll be seeing me talking about next week's show. Oh, nothing from us on this time?
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, you're still having a hard time hearing me? Well, that's not good. Brian says to turn down your radio and turn up your phone.
Yep, did it.
That should help. Is that a yes?
Well, you have to keep talking.
All right, so I guess we're just going to have to take it away with the news, the very, very short news. As always, the news is brought to you in part by the Rat Bashers at Belmore Towing in Belmore, New York. Let's see, what holiday are we coming up on now? Oscar season.
Easter.
Well, Easter's still a ways off, right?
Well, there are already East Cadbury commercials on television, so.
Are there really?
Yeah.
All right, so just in time for the Easter holiday, let's see. If you really want to have a company that will lay an egg for you, you can go to Belmore Towing, where they practice legal... but rat bastardy tactics. And that's Belmore Towing in Belmore, New York. That's 516-781-0200. In case you people out there on the road listening to us and having problems. So, let's see. I'll just take away with the news. I have two bits of sad, sad news. Let's see. I'll start off with the bigger news, obviously.
But just so you know, we just lost a call.
Oh, well, that's not good.
So you're by yourself.
Oh, that's even better.
Well, not technically.
But... Well, you're here.
Yeah.
Not by myself. Well, yeah. So let's see. Harold Ramis, perhaps best known as Dr. Egon Spengler in the Ghostbuster franchise, died this past week from complications of autoimmune inflammatory vesiculitis, which is a rare disease that involves swelling of the blood vessels. Not only was Harold Ramis an actor, but he was also a screenwriter for such films as, drumroll please, National Lampoon's Animal House, Meatballs, Caddyshack, Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield, Armed and Dangerous, which I barely remember, Caddyshack Part 2, which I had no idea he actually had a part in that, Rover Dangerfield, which is a cartoon based on Rodney Dangerfield's life, Groundhog Day with obviously Bill Murray, Analyze This, Analyze That, Bedazzled with Elizabeth Hurley, if I'm not mistaken, and Year One. He also directed Caddyshack, National Lampoon's Vacation, Groundhog Day, Stuart Says His Family, Multiplicity, which I loved.
This is all Harold Ramis. Right?
Yes, Harold Ramis directed that, yes. Analyze This, Analyze That, Bedazzled, and Year One. And he starred and wrote in Ghostbusters 1, 2, and Stripes.
Right. That much I know. I know that much.
And for those, yes?
No. It's actually amazing how much he actually contributed to comedy that we have no idea about. Absolutely no idea about. But that was your point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, when I did a little research on it, I was like, wow, I didn't know he did so much stuff. And there's movies that I watched, and I had no idea he had a hand in it.
Right, right.
So that was quite amazing. And for those of you diehard Ghostbuster fans, he actually wrote the Ghostbusters video game, which came out in 2009. And he has said many times that if there would be a third Ghostbusters movie, that would be the movie.
The video game that he wrote.
Right, the video game that he wrote with Dan Aykroyd in 2009, the Ghostbusters video game, would be as best of a sequel as they could come up with.
Wow.
Of course, that's, you know, that's Dan, Harold Ramis talking as opposed to the studios.
Yeah, so things would have been, he would have had to compromise a little bit on that vision.
Right. The studios, as has been kicked around for, I would say, about 4 or 5 years. They wanted to make a third Ghostbusters movie, and they were teetering between making it like a brand new cast.
Right, like a reboot.
Right, or they were going to go along the Ghostbusters Extreme route, which is that they would still have the main cast, and then they would hand off the Ghostbusters stuff to the new people, which was a Ben Stiller.
Right. Wasn't Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters Extreme was a cartoon, right?
Yes.
Where they had their children, or like young versions of, they were training young Ghostbusters?
Yes, they were training young Ghostbusters. They weren't their kids, but they were like, one was a fan, one was a kid on the street, one was a scientist in Egon's class.
Right, okay. Okay, so they weren't kids. All right, I apologize.
Well, they were
children. And it was only Ray, wasn't it? Wasn't it just Ray and...
No, it was Egon that managed to stay on that that series.
Oh.
And they had the original cast come back for a crossover episode where all eight of them were fighting ghosts together.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually a very good show. Surprisingly enough, I have to say. It reminds me of that Godzilla cartoon that was way better than the movie.
Right.
It just kind of had a life on its own, and it went off in its own direction, and it was really good with good, you know, good characters, development and whatnot.
That happens a lot of times because the producers of a cartoon or whatever, they get more flexibility with the storyline that they can do.
Right.
And they also have to do a lot more work to make it make more sense, especially like that Godzilla situation. You know, you gotta work hard to make that. You're talking about the Emmerich Godzilla, right?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
You have to work hard to make that make sense. Although I do remember the original Godzilla cartoon.
With Godzuki?
Yeah, where they used to call Godzilla with a whistle. which was, you know, I mean, when you're already starting with that, you don't have that far to climb to become a superior product. Although I love that cartoon. No offense, but it was, they were on a boat. They had some kind of whistle or some kind of official way to call Godzilla, but when that didn't work, Godzuki could call it.
Right.
That's okay.
Because Godzuki, you know, just hanged out with these guys for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
as stuff happened back in the day, you know, you just had some weird creature just hang out with people.
For no apparent reason.
That's what we call 70s and 80s logic.
And it worked. We ate it with a big spoon. More Saturday morning. More. Sorry. That was me eating it with a spoon.
So,
go back to what you were saying.
Yeah, so it turns out that the latest incarnation of the Ghostbuster franchise is supposedly a handoff from the old cast, the original cast. Of course, with Harold Ramis's death, and the studios have announced that they are still going to go forward with Ghostbusters 3. Bill Murray is now officially out, because he was out before. He got lured back in with the Ghostbusters video game. He was like, maybe I'll do this. So then it was starting to happen. But now that Harold Ramis is gone, Bill Murray's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm not even going to participate in this, because it's going to be crap.
Most likely it will be, because then, you know, without any creative force, like, say, Harold Ramis behind it, with, you know, and he doesn't actually have a script. Right?
No, he. Right, but there was a script being generated around because, like I said, it was supposed to be Ben Stiller. Seth Rogen was going to be one of the people, which was awesome because Seth Rogen and Harold Ramis looked like father and son, which they played father and son in Knocked Up.
Right.
And when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, he could really play his dad.
Right. But that's not going to happen.
So who knows what's going to happen as of right now, but. As of last night, the studio that is says that they are going forward with a Ghostbusters 3, and they already have found a way to write out Harold Ramis' character.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they announced as soon as he died, they waited like 2-3 days and they made that announcement. So that's going to happen. It's going to happen.
All right. Well, we're just going to have to suffer that.
And he was only 69.
Baby.
Well, yeah.
by today's standards, even.
Well, yeah. What was it? I was seeing an interview with Craig Ferguson. He was talking to, I think it was Kurt Russell. No. I think it was Kurt Russell. Anyway, it was a interview I was watching, and the actor was like, you know, 50 and 60 are now real. 80 and 90 are now real things that people can achieve. It's not like just some, you know, imaginary number that's out there. People can really live to these ages, so it's so your life changes now, because 40 and 50 are like midway now.
Great.
So we're halfway there.
I got all this time to go. Really? I thought I was almost done.
No. moving
thanks,
on.
Thanks for the good news, Mark.
From the desk of Mark Torres. We got more to go.
Okay.
Moving on with more sad news. Roger Hill, who played gang leader Cyrus in the cult classic The Warriors, died last week. Hill spent nearly 20 years as an actor, mostly working in theater. He was an early participant in the Frank Silvera Writers' Workshop and appeared off-Broadway in touring productions of No Place to Be Somebody, Ed Bolin's The Fabulous Miss Marie, and Hamlet. Of note, he filed a lawsuit in 2005 of $250,000 against Rockstar Games for using his voice and depicting him in the video game based on The Warriors.
Wow, did he win? Yeah,
this is the no follow-up question to use.
Okay, sorry. No follow-up.
Wow. I remember that video game coming out, and I had no idea that he sued for that. How about that? He was only 65.
You know, in keeping with our motif of us, you know, arguing with each other on the air, really, when you found out that he had taken out a lawsuit, the next thing you should have done was research whether he won, because you should have thought, well, his mom's going to ask me, right? If he gets on, 2 minutes after that, he's going to ask me, did he win?
So So you're saying that I should think in advance of Hassan's questions?
Yeah. I think you should anticipate me not giving any respect to the follow-up rule. And then come up with the follow-up.
But here,
then again,
here's the thing. As a little window into the world of how this show works for you fans, Mrs. Faberchan.
Yes.
I look up the news, and I pick things that I believe that I'll get some type of reaction, either positively or negatively, from the rest of the group, being Charlie and Hassan. Some items of news gets more life out of it than I had ever expected. While other pieces of news, which I think, oh, they're going to love this, I get no reaction at all. Like, nothing. So, I can't win.
It's the natural law of things, though. That everything you anticipate will happen will not. Everything you do not prepare for will happen. That's natural law. That's Murphy's law. And natural law. Together. That's when the two of them intersect.
So, I should... So what is the solution, then?
I don't really have one.
So at least that puts us all in the same realm of not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know how to fix it. We just know there's a problem. It's not our fault. It's just our problem.
Right.
The old word saying.
Right. So my last bit of news, which I bring up from time to time, is my favorite rat of all time, Peter David, has suffered a stroke over a year ago. Since then, he has been slowly recovering, and I ran into him at the New York Comic Con, and he's doing quite well. And me being starstruck because he is my favorite writer, and it's weird because I've met him a couple of times. The thing I could come up to say to him was, "I'm glad you're still alive." And without missing a beat, he says, "So am I."
Which is probably true.
Yes.
And from the mouth of Peter David, the truth.
Despite being a writer for Marvel Comics, for the most part, he is a freelance writer, and his family has asked for his fans for help. They are having original art auctions. They're having fundraisers, all listed on Peter David's site, peterdavid.net. And he suggests, you know, just go out and buy his ebooks from Crazy 8 Press or Amazon or Barnes & Noble's, because he gets mostly directly sales from the book. As you know, freelance writers don't have insurance, so they have to just work with what they have. And since, you know, he's not begging for money, he's just saying, "Hey, buy my stuff, and by doing so, you'll support me and my health and help me get better."
Right.
Which
buy
is
my product.
Yeah, which is kind of a, and it's not a bad product. So it's not like he's asking to go out and buy Tosio cereal.
It's a retail contract. It's a natural retail contract. I will benefit if you buy the product that I am providing for you.
Right.
So there's no kind of scam or any kind of nefarious being at work here. You know, I need your money, and here I will give you this if you give me your money.
Exactly. Of course, it's not like anything like with, what was it, the Fast and the Furious 6. Like, before Paul Walker's blood was cold, the producers of Fast and Furious 6 threw out the DVD to release, and they said, "And a small portion will go to Paul Walker's charity." Like, they didn't even have to do that. I felt like they were trying to manipulate people to buy a DVD.
Buy this real quick. Come on, do it.
And, like, all of a sudden, his charity was so important. A portion of the proceeds, which they don't even tell you what the portion is.
Right. And they don't tell you, really, what charity it is.
No, it's just Paul Walker's charity.
For Paul Walker. It's charity for Paul Walker.
So I just thought that was, like, so wrong for them to do.
Yeah, I have to agree.
But
underhanded.
Yes, but in this case, for Peter David, he's saying, "Hey, you know, I got bills, buy my stuff, and you can help me pay my bills so I can write more stuff to entertain the world."
That's all right. In the book of came from the radio. The book of things that are all right when it came from the radio. That's one of them.
Yes, from the department of it's all right. All right, so that is it with the news. Are we ready for our break? We'll be right back with It Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Thank you, Trevor. That was very nicely done.
Thank you very much. Can you tell I'm having fun?
Somebody's having fun.
That's what this show is all about.
Yes, at least as long as we're having fun, that's okay.
That's all that matters.
You know that here's a stupid TV trivia. That the part in the Ghostbusters song where he says, "I hear it like the girls."
Yeah.
Right? I had to wait 5 years and hear, I think, Tom Jones do a really bad cover of the song before I knew what the heck, what's his name, Jr.
Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr. was saying at that point. I listened to that cassette tape, just dating myself. Like, yeah, I was a wee lad. I was 14, I think, or something like that. They came out when I was 11. So if I had to wait 5 years, it would have been 16 years old. So I was 16, listened to a cassette tape, trying to figure out what the heck he was saying when he says, "Who I hear is like the girl."
At the very end of the song.
Close to the edge, in the middle. It's in that breakdown part.
Right.
And then Tom Jones does a cover. I'm sitting there listening to Tom Jones. And listening and butcher the song, full disclosure, I wasn't a big fan. And I'm like, he's killing this thing. He's murdering it. And then he goes, "Ooh, I hear it's like real bad." Just in real, if you could picture it, Tom Jones' voice. He's like, "Ooh, I hear it's like a girl." I was like, "Oh, that's what he's been saying all these years." So, even though Tom Jones is not my favorite singer, he did seriously help me out with the Ghostbusters. So, gotta give him a little something. That's my small, fresh, useless work with trivia on the Ray Parker Jr.
Well, this might actually make you feel a little better because I had no idea what he said until right this minute when I heard it now.
I'm like, Mark, I'm the same way. I didn't realize until just now.
Yeah, because it was all nice and clear. I was like, "Whoa, that's what he said."
If he says, "I afraid of no ghosts," he goes, "Ooh, I hear it like the girls." And that was it. How would a kid know how to decipher that, I still don't know what it means. I guess ghosts like girls.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Ghosts like girls.
That's... Yeah, but how does that help you not being afraid of the ghosts? I hear it like the girls. How is that a corollary?
Because, if it likes the girls, I like girls too. Yeah, we should be friends.
Ghosts aren't that bad.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. I wonder how many people listening right now I actually helped clear that up for.
Well, there's at least two people that learned.
And we owe it all to Tom Jones. Okay, fair enough.
So this week, we're going to be talking about the movie RoboCop.
All right.
For those of you who do not know, RoboCop has been rebooted and brought back for the 2014 audience.
Yeah.
Movies long.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's about a cop
who becomes
a robot.
Who becomes a robot.
Yes.
It's not really a clever title. It's just pretty straightforward. If you really want to know what this is about,
it's
about a guy who is a cop who they turn into a robot.
Right.
And he stays a cop after he becomes a robot.
Right. So there's a free-flowing conversation, so spoilers may or may not be mentioned. I cannot guarantee either way.
What was that?
I said this is going to be a free-flowing conversation, so spoilers,
may be
leaked out. But if you've seen the original, you pretty much got an idea of what's going to happen.
Some bad happens, dude. they have that whole gentleman we can rebuild him conversation.
Right.
And then they go about rebuilding.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then he...
If you didn't know that much about RoboCop, then you really... Not only do you need to stop listening, but you really need to get out more. You didn't know that was the premise of RoboCop.
What's the classic saying, if you need to get out for... If you're going out to see one movie this summer, you need to get out more often.
Yes, indeed. And that is perfect.
Right, so I'm gonna say just a quick thought about RoboCop. I didn't think it was needed to make the sequel. Obviously, I really didn't see too much as in previews or trailers because I wanted to try and get my idea fresh off of the movie.
Right.
And working in a movie theater, and I didn't get to see it right off the bat. So I'm walking by, and I keep on all I hear is gunshots, explosions, And I walked by and I heard the RoboCop theme song. So now I'm thinking, well, at least they put the RoboCop theme song in there. It might not be so bad. And it obviously is going to be action in it. And then I went to see the movie. I saw it and it took me a while to figure out what was wrong with it. Well, to let it all sink in. So after I watched it, I was sat there and I thought, it's missing something. And it took me like a good week to figure out what was the deal with the movie. So I can say right now, before I get into it, it felt like it was missing something.
Right.
Okay. What did you think of the movie?
You know what? The trouble going into RoboCop is that the original RoboCop is such a significant piece of cinema for so many people. For the product in and of itself, for the era in which the product was made, for the message that it was trying to send or not trying to send, it was basically very allegorical. Very much satire of, kind of those modern, the original RoboCop, I think, was 86 or 87, late 80s. So the entire phenomenon of the 80s era was coming to an end. And there was, the times were ripe for criticism of that era, as we human beings in America are wont to do, when our really significant errors start to come to a screeching halt. So the movie has a lot of just parody humor in it, a lot of dark humor, a lot of capitalism commentary. Very much a significant piece of film work. And of course, on top of everything else, it was a decent adult action movie with a few horror aspects to it. It was a tough nut to crack if you were gonna do a piece of it from the start. It wasn't if you're an idiot, only an idiot thought it was just a story about a guy in a robot. It really was much, much, much more than that.
It was a multi-layered movie.
Yeah. And so going into it and being such a huge fan of the original film for several reasons. When I was a kid, when I saw it, I thought it was a great action movie. Then as an adult, I watched it again and again, and I realized, wow, this movie really saying a lot of stuff about the time we came from.
Right.
And, of course, they're going to make another RoboCop. It's going to be PG-13 so they can get as many butts as possible.
Fill the seats, yes.
Yeah, and so here I go, on the cynical kick of, well, there's no way they're going to be able to make social commentary that the first one made. No way that they're going to, that it's going to be. I mean, the gore and the violence of the ultra violence of the original film was, again, another piece of that allegory.
It was another
piece of commentary. So if you're going to make it a PG-13, bring the kids kind of film, you're already missing a significant, a significant piece of what the original story was about.
But you got to think, after the first movie came out, it all of a sudden was geared to kids, and they made a cartoon and toys,
Yeah. It is, no, and that's the later breed. That's the same aspect of capitalism that the movie was making fun of in the first place. It's just ironic,
right?
That the people who had the licensing for that product is gang. That the whole point of this movie is that this is violent, destructive. And you're going to be shooting your kids. You're going to sell it to your children. So they didn't even get that they were being ironic about that. And of course, there usually isn't a hint of irony when it comes to marketing. So the new movie comes out, and I did go to see it. A couple of friends of mine saw it. They said, "Hey, you gotta go check it out." And I'm like, "Is it good?" And they're like, "Well, we'll let you decide."
That's a loaded question right there.
Yeah, pretty well. What, is it good?
Yeah, if you say, is it good, and they're like, well, you figure it out for yourself. Well, what the kind of answer is that? That doesn't tell me anything.
No, it doesn't really say much about anything. But here's the thing. I watched the film, and it is nothing like the original film. And I mean that story-wise and also in gravitas, not as heavy, not as significant a piece of work as the original film. But I thought it was a good movie. It was a strange phenomenon where I actually thought, okay, well, yeah, this is not Verhoeven's masterpiece.
It's not your father's RoboCop?
No, but I get it. You know, I get the point that they were making. I get the action that they're, it had a heart to it, you know? This poor guy gets brutalized pretty badly, and then become, the RoboCop, the titular character, and the whole. I mean, even the original RoboCop didn't really focus on Murphy's family after he became RoboCop.
Right, because it wasn't RoboCop's family. It was RoboCop.
Yeah, exactly. It was, and the story wasn't about that. It was about a guy who took his entire life away, and
right.
This movie really got into the depth of his wife and child, and the significant after effect of what would happen to a guy that what would become of the mind of a guy that did terrible thing has happened.
Right.
So I thought that would be interesting.
So I'm gonna just throw this out because this question was brought up to me. Why did they save the hand?
I don't know.
As soon as I saw it, it didn't occur to me until someone mentioned it. Wait, it's just a head and a hand? And then it was like, it reminded me of the head detective from In Living Color. It was just a guy's head and a hand. Like, why did they save the hand?
I don't know. That's when they do show what's left of him without the robot suit.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people's reactions. Why did you do that? that's just an insult,
Yes.
Well, you still got this hand.
It's not even attached. It's just attached to a piece of pipe.
Yeah. So it's not even a part of his body. I don't know. I think that's just a way to be cute about it. I have no idea. It should really didn't make any sense.
But the movie is
Stowaway. The original movie was about a guy who lost all his memories, the indomitable human spirit of how that, if your mind, if your sense of self is still intact somewhere, it will find a way back. It will acknowledge itself. It will kind of come to the forefront. So no amount of programming and conditioning can really stop that from happening. And then this one, they didn't even bother with that. He was gone after the last one. Then they went ahead. Not much of a spoiler, but they went ahead and erased his memory.
Yeah.
Because he was too human. And it worked to an extent. So it's like, well, I guess that's not the message. I guess the message of this film is the indomitable human spirit. It's that I don't know what the message of the film was. I
think the message was, let's try and make some money.
Yeah, let's search for more money. Let's make another RoboCop. It's been 20 years. That's good enough time. And we got technology now. We got that CGI stuff.
That's the one thing I was thinking of when I was watching the movie, because just a couple of weeks before, you were complaining about how, you thought RoboCop was maybe running and jumping in part two, and he's running and jumping in this one. This is the action sequences that you wanted in the original RoboCop in the sequel.
Right.
When he's fighting the Etonines, he's really doing some stuff.
He does.
So I was like, wow, Hassan might like this part here.
And I did enjoy that. I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. You just don't come out of it thinking. That's the difference between the two of them. The first one, I mean, even as a kid, I came out of it like, wow, that's kind of messed up. You become and then you don't know who you are, and your wife and kids leave you, and you find out you are, I'm a robot. What happened? They took everything away. And, of course, you got that revenge story where you go to kill a guy who put you in the suit in the first place.
Okay.
But, you're still kind of left kind of empty-handed at the end of it,
For this one, you said it didn't leave you thinking. Well, it did leave me thinking, because I'm trying to figure out how did I enjoy this movie or not? Because usually if I go in a movie, I'm like, I see it and like, wow, this was a great movie. This is awesome. Or I see it like, this was terrible. Why did I do this? This was bad. But sometimes it's like gray area. And I'm sitting there thinking, did I like this movie? Did I like it? And I was thinking about it. This movie made me think more than a lot of other movies. And the conclusion I came to was that this movie was on par with a magic act. They tried to just a magic act, you know, like a hocus pocus magic act. What they tried to do in this movie was put a lot of things from the original movie, and they're distracting with that. They're saying, hey, look over here. We're putting in these things from the original movie. We're putting in the suit. We're putting the thing from the gun from his leg. We're putting in lines from the movie, and you like that stuff. So therefore, you should like this movie. And they're distracting with that while slowly sliding in a subpar movie underneath.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, we're so, I mean, they're gonna use that reverse psychology against us. We're so used to these people being terrible.
Right.
That when you give us a halfway decent film, we're going to start to think it's better than it actually is.
Especially if they're giving you the little distractions.
Yeah.
Like so
that's how they got X-Men happen. Perfect.
Yes.
Well, this was supposed to be a boondoggle because you know the Fantastic Four movie had come out, the Captain America movie was a farce.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously, you know, you're gonna get this movie all wrong, and then you watch it and it's X-Men. How heavy is X-Men? You can't just cheat an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
And then you watch it, you're like, whoa, this movie isn't terrible. So you actually think it's better than it actually was.
Right.
That's how they got
me. So in this one, I actually had to sit and like, well, this was a substandard movie because if you take it apart, if you take out all the stuff that they're distracting with, then it really wasn't that great of a movie. In addition, the bad guy wasn't a great bad guy. It wasn't a good villain because he dispensed with the villain so easily as opposed to the original. You know, it was like a challenge for RoboCop.
Right. There were several bad guys.
Yes, and there were several bad guys in this one, and each one was more lackluster than the last one. You know, it's like, all right, and shot him. All right, let's move on. All right, let's go shoot that guy. All right.
All right, I guess we're done.
And even like the big resolution of the original RoboCop on how, you know, he couldn't kill the CEO because the programming.
Directive 4. It was called Directive 4.
Right, the hidden directive.
He had three main directives, which is
serve the public trust.
Yeah, safeguard the innocent, or something like that, and uphold the law.
Right.
Those were his three.
And number four is classified.
Which was a parody of, or a nod to Asimov's...
the iRobot?
Artificial intelligence rule.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, in the story.
Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law.
But those weren't actually the Asimov rules, but that it was a kind of nod to that,
right?
And then the fourth directive, basically, which is kind of an undisclosed thing that was top secret, was basically that he was not allowed to obstruct or arrest or detain any member of any chief officer of that corporation that built him.
Right. It was a CYA directive.
Right. And that's what stopped them from arresting Ronnie Cox, who was playing the part of Dick Jones, which
right.
was one of the vice presidents of the company.
Right.
And that was a big deal. So when Mark refers to that, that's what he's talking about.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you for the exposition.
No problem.
So in this one, they don't even really go over that. It's like, he got better.
He just got past it.
Yeah, it was very lackluster. So on a movie in and of itself, you're like, it wasn't that good. You know, it was kind of nice to look at. He has some action scenes. A couple of small things didn't make any sense, but it really wasn't blaringly bad.
Right.
And then it was over. So the question is, like, these guys, like...
And the original Directive 4 was that the problem of that one was actually handled very cleverly.
Exactly.
Know? And it done in the form of a really good joke that was also a twist in the plot. You know, it was resolved with a joke.
Yes.
But it was a very clever plot twist that made for a great, you know, hero moment at the very end of the story. Just remember when the old man fired him.
Yes. Thank you for your cooperation. So,
yeah.
So this one, so I'm late to wonder, like, the people who made this movie, are they trying to, like, is the target audience people who've seen the original RoboCop? Because they're going to be kind of disappointed. Is it people who haven't seen the original RoboCop? And if they haven't seen the original RoboCop, then all this extra stuff that they went through the effort of putting in there to distract you isn't even worth putting in there to distract you.
It's a quota. All these things are quotas. So basically what it is that you have to look at it as like a parking ticket or a speeding ticket quotas for cops or speed troopers. They have a certain amount of things that they're supposed to, quota tickets they're supposed to give out per month or per year or whatever.
Unofficially, of course.
Huh?
Unofficially, of course.
Yeah, unofficially. We're not making a statement that this is what it actually is, but they are basically the conventional wisdom says they have this certain amount of tickets or you know, citations that they have to give out per month, which is why it always kind of comes around
at the end of the month.
Time a month, when you know they all step up their patrolling of the streets and stuff like that. It doesn't really matter to them for the most part what happens after they've handed out your ticket. You know,
okay.
You know, a lot of times they will even instruct you on how to get out of the ticket. You know, if you're lucky enough to get a cop, you say, okay, well, you know, just here's a ticket. Come meet me in court, and I will, you know, I'll bust this down to a moving violation,
right,
you know, something like that.
Right.
And so you're left wondering, all right, well, you're so happy that you're going to maybe get away with something or get out of something that you're not even left wondering the obvious questions. Well, why give me the ticket in the first place if the infraction wasn't so bad that you know that you simply have to take me to task on it.
Right, right.
If you're gonna find a way to get me out of it, then why get me into it? And the bottom line is because he has to give out the citation. He has to give out the ticket in order to make his own quota. But he's looking to, you know, he's looking to help you out. I think the studio execs are kind of the same way. They have to be working on a particular project. The project has to be like a major product.
Right.
It has to have some kind of It has to meet some kind of gold standard up there that it's guaranteed to make X amount of money. It's guaranteed summer blockbuster. It's guaranteed this and that. And instead of these days, like, taking a chance on new things or, you know, taking using your own instincts, your artistic creative instincts to see if you can, you know, decipher what those things may or may not be, you're going to just take a former product, something that was a former hit, and you're just going to reboot it. And you don't care, really, what is made out of it. You don't care about making any kind of artistic statement. You don't care if it has any kind of deep integrity or anything like that.
You just want to make it and call it a night.
Yeah, you just want to have this as a quota piece and say to your studio, you know, your studio head, hey, yeah, we're going to make RoboCop again. You know, RoboCop tested really well in our demographic test, and it's going to be a big deal with the kids. And it's going to be, it's going to get a lot of publicity. People, you're going to get the internet haters. They're going to come around. They're going to make a lot of hay about it. It's going to be, it's going to be a big deal for us. It's going to be a big win. And it's going to come out, and it's going to come and go, and we're going to have our summer money, and we'll be back.
It's funny that you bring that up because I mentioned this before. I went to NATO last year, which is a National Association of Theater Organizations, and they go and they have like little seminars and they show stuff from all the movie producers come in to show the trailers that haven't been released yet, and they have like conferences and they just try to tell you what products are coming up. And there was the vice president of Warner Brothers. All right, he came to announce his movies. And he was a very old man, and he did not give a crap about anything. And his description of some of the movies was hilarious. He's like, well, yeah, we got this movie. It's like this movie and this other movie. So it'll make his money. Or, yeah, it'll make his money on DVD. Or he just really didn't care. And I'll never forget what he said about 300. There's a sequel to 300. He says, yeah, we got another 300, but it's not by the same guy, but it looks kind of the same. So people will go see it anyway. So you'll like it. And even some movies he didn't even care about. I was like, yeah, no one's going to watch this movie anyway, but so what? It was so weird.
Wow, yeah.
And that was the vice president. of Warner Brothers. Like
that has to be, you know, I know I'm only speculating, but that has to be the way they think. You know, there's no one at the switch. There's no conscientious mind at the wheel of these decisions anymore. You know? That's why you're gonna get so many of these, you know, well, that's just the trends. These things are trending pretty big. They're using a lot of machinery and equipment and internet statistics and stuff like that to determine what the next move is going to be, you know? And unfortunately, it's all noise. Everything we say in protest of it, it's like, why are they making another one of these damn things? Why are they, you know, it's all noise. They don't care about our noise. We vote with our wallets. And if we went to see it, like you and I both did for RoboCop, you know, for the sake of this show.
My vote doesn't count. I see movies.
Well, whatever. Just play along with it. You know what I'm talking about.
I saw it 3 times and I paid full price for it.
Yeah. Well, think about it this way. If you have 3 people on your show, one of you doesn't pay, you still basically, the show foisted that, you know, the ticket sales for 3 other people.
Yes, yes.
So until we all decide we're not going to see this crap because it's just empty calories, and it's a bad re-representation of something that came before that we really care deeply about, nothing's going to happen. It's going to keep happening, you know? That's just all there is to it, because like I said, nobody at the switch is awake. You know, nobody. There's no conscientious mind there. If you're saying that the vice president is coming to say, no one's going to love this, no one's going to care about this,
yeah,
you know? You know, they're going to think this is great, even though it's not, you know, or they're going to think that so-and-so made this movie, even though he didn't. And yeah, there's no depth.
It was so surreal, though, because, you know, you figure, I'm like, it's the vice president. Like, wow, you know, like, it's like a big-headed honcho movie guy. And he just, like, it's just some old dude who just did not give a crap. It was so amazing to see him. Like, I wonder what this guy is doing in his office. Like, what kind of meetings does he have?
He's getting lots of money to keep the studio overhead, you know, low, and to keep their revenue high. That's what he's getting paid for.
And the fact that he just so blatantly just, you know, didn't even care about the spiel. He was just like, whatever. Like, this is a public forum. Don't be saying that out there.
Nope, he's not getting paid for his art. He's not getting paid for art. He's getting paid. And like, here you go. Here's another, you know, here's this summer's, you know, latest cash crop.
Yeah, I mean, and he was the first one. So, you know, all the other ones were like, well, you know, we're going to have a summer tentpole movie and we're going to, you know, and they did a little song and dance. And my mind is going back to that first guy like, holy crap, man. Everybody else is, you know, falling into place like, oh, we're going to try our best. And, you know, if you like this one, then hopefully you don't like this and this and that. But, man, it was just, whatever. It'll fill the seats. It'll make its money back. It'll stay. It's not a cash cow, but it'll last a couple of weeks. We'll keep it on in the theaters for, you know, such and such a time to make its money back. It's weird. It's very weird. We have less than 5 minutes to go. So you want a final thought, Hassan?
You know, it's...
See it, don't see it. Watch it, don't watch it.
It's a decent movie. It's not RoboCop, you know, but it's a decent movie. It didn't top the original, but it's a decent movie. If you don't like movies like this, or if you don't like reboots in general, don't go see it, because it's just going to encourage them to make more. If you don't care about that stuff and you just want to see something entertaining, I would say that this movie is entertaining. Hmm. So I was entertained by the movie. So, yeah,
It's very rare where you like the movie and I don't like the movie. I
didn't necessarily say I liked it. I said it was entertaining, but you know, it's not on my list of. When it comes out on DVD, I'm not going to grab it. You know.
All right. Well, let me rephrase that. It's very rare when you have a positive spin on the movie and I have a negative spin on the movie.
That's true.
So I would say don't go see this movie. Don't pass on it. Go see Nonstop instead. If you want to see a remake, you know, go see Nonstop. That's, you know, taking on a plane. Instead of taking the daughter, they take the plane. So go see that. Because that was actually surprising how they actually managed to do what I was worried that they were going to do. You know, a plane movie it's very hard to do because you can't have an action plane on the movie because once you start shooting up the place, the plane goes down, and that's the end of the movie.
Theoretically, what should happen.
Every other plane movie, every other plane action movie where there's, you know, that's what happens. Oh, we're going to be shooting stuff, and then nothing happens, and then nothing, you know, like what I just watched, Passenger 57 is a perfect example. So
I agree.
So they managed to actually keep my interest in whatever. So instead of seeing RoboCop, go see Nonstop. That's what I say in this case. Do not go see RoboCop. And
Nonstop.
And yes, and my final thought is to I'm going to join Bill Murray on this and say don't even bother going to see Ghostbusters 3.
Wow.
Because I'm actually going to be with him on this. You know, that was kind of wrong. So I'm going to say don't do that.
You will have mysteriously been able to see it because of your unique position
right.
of employment.
Yes.
So you'll see it, but you're going to tell other people not to.
Right.
All right.
Because my vote doesn't count.
No, that's true.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go on to our website. www.itcamefromradio.com and listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. I guess the Oscars are tonight, so make sure you guys watch that, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
In the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.